Please come to order. Would the members please register their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the quorum.
Thirty-three present, seven absent.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, Representatives Byrne, Bennett, Carpenter, Guy, Hayes, Meekins, and Swanson are excused from the call of the House today. Mr. Swanson, incidentally, is excused is with us at the present time, but we'll have to be leaving to catch the plane at midpoint in the session. I'll ask unanimous consent that other absent members be shown as excused on official state business.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Our chaplain today is Pastor Hunt of the Resurrection Lutheran Church. The House, please rise for prayer.
Let us pray. Thanks be to you, most gracious Heavenly Father, for the accomplishments of this week. Invigorate these elected representatives of the people of Alaska that today's task may speedily be completed. During this weekend, refresh and renew each one, even as you renewed your divine Son, Jesus Christ, when he withdrew from the crowd. In his name, amen.
Representative Swanson. Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. The clerk please certifies the correctness of the Daily Journal.
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 116th day in House Supplement Number 40.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent this body approve the journal as certified by the Chief Clerk for the 116th day and for House Supplement Number 40.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Brings us to introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction to the chambers? If not, are there any messages from the governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, the President has granted powers of free conference to the Senate Conference Committee considering committee substitute for House Bill Number 132, establishing the State Educational Incentive Grant Program with an effective date, and committee substitute for House Bill Number 132, amended Senate, same title. The Senate Free Conference Committee members are Senator Hackney, Chairman, Senator Croft, Senator Huber. The Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill Number 627, Finance, appropriating for the operating expenses of the state government with an effective date with the following amendment. Senate committee substitute for a committee substitute for House Bill Number 627, and the Senate has adopted a Senate letter of intent, and they are transmitted herewith for consideration. The Senate has passed Senate concurrent resolution number 92, and it is transmitted herewith for consideration. Senate concurrent resolution number 92 by the Rules Committee, relating to use of state funds for air transportation.
Refer to the State Affairs Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
There's a letter and resolution from the Alaska Power Authority to provide financing for the Healy 2 coal-fired steam plant. This will be printed in the supplemental journal. I have no further communications, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to standing committees.
The Committee on Finance has had House Concurrent Resolution 129 relating to Anchorage Recreation Area under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Rode, Haugen, Schaefer, Swanson, Buchholz, Duncan, and Cooper. House Concurrent Resolution number 129 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 43 relating to a grant of jurisdiction to the district courts over claims against the state brought under the small claims procedural rules under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 43 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Miles, Brown, and Rudd. House Bill 43 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 256 relating to the raw fish tax under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with a Community and Regional Affairs Committee substitute for House Bill 256, and that it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Rode, Haugen, Schaefer, Meekins, Swanson, Buchholz, Duncan, and Cooper. House Bill 256 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 396 relating to lobbying under consideration. The committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 396 Judiciary and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Brown, and Eliason. Signing no recommendation, Rudd. Signing do not pass, Carpenter. House Bill 396 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 583 relating to unemployment insurance under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Rode, Haugen, Schaefer, Swanson, Buchholz, Duncan, and Cooper. House Bill 583 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 629, a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, vessel operations, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Rode, Haugen, Schaefer, Swanson, and Duncan. House Bill 629 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 664 relating to the practice of optometry under consideration. The committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for for House Bill 664 Judiciary and that it be reported back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman. Signing do pass, Gardner and Brown. Signing do not pass, Carpenter. Signing no recommendation, Miles and Eliason. House Bill 664 has no further referral. The Committee on Commerce has had sponsor substitute for House Bill 739 relating to material men and mechanics liens under consideration. The committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 739 and that it be reported back with individual recommendations. Report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman. Signing do pass, Carpenter, Chatterton, and Hayes. Signing no recommendation, Parr, McKinnon, and Bradley. Sponsor substitute for House Bill 739 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 852 relating to the Alaska Code Commission under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 852 and that it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Miles, Rudd, and Brown. Carpenter has no recommendation. House Bill 852 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 862, Special Appropriations to the Department of Education for the Transportation Museum of Alaska Incorporated, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Freeman, Rode, Haugen, Schaefer, Swanson, Buchholz, and Duncan. House Bill 862 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 912 relating to the exemption of small oil discharges from the penalty provisions of AS 463-758 under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with the Resources Committee substitute for House Bill 912 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Miles, Brown, Rudd, Carpenter, and Dankworth. House Bill 912 has no further referral. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Bill 913 relating to daycare programs under consideration. Four members of the committee recommend it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Rudd, Chairman, concurred in by Rudd, Loveseth, Snyder, and Smith. Phillips has no recommendation. House Bill 913 has a further referral to the Hess Committee. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 914, Special Appropriation to the Legislative Council for the Continuation of a Bottom Fish Project, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Rode, Haugen, Meekin, Swanson, Buchholz, Duncan, and Cooper. House Bill 914 has no further referral. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Bill 917 relating to an Alaska Medical Facility Authority under consideration. The committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 917 and that it be reported back with individual recommendations. Report was signed by Mrs. Rudd, Chairman. Signing do pass, Anderson. Signing no recommendation, Phillips, Snyder, Loveseth, and Rudd. House Bill 917 has a further referral to Hess. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 954, a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for the acquisition of a site for a permanent maintenance facility for state ferries under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Rode, Haugen, Schaefer, Swanson, and Buchholz. House Bill 954 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
The Free Conference Committee, which has had CSHB 132, establishing the State Educational Incentive Grant Program, and committee substitute for House Bill 132, amended Senate under consideration, recommends that Free Conference Committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 132 be adopted. The report was signed by the Senate members, Hackney Chairman, Croft, and Huber, by the House members, Parr Chairman, Rudd, and Lufsett. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, may we be these?
House, please stand it. Order. Order. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, may we revert to introduction of guests, please?
Hearing no objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Representative Anderson.
In Gallery B is a good friend of mine from Bethel, Susan Murphy.
Are there further guests for introduction? If not, we'll continue with the regular order of business. Are there any citations or resolutions for introduction?
House Concurrent Resolution 130 with a transmittal letter by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, approving the sale of royalty oil to Earth Resources Company of Alaska. There's a contract that accompanies it.
Refer to the Special Committee on Royalty Oil and Gas.
House Joint Resolution Number 75 by the Rules Committee, relating to the federal appropriation to the Land and Water Conservation Fund.
Be referred to the Resources Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of House bills.
House Bill 963 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to sales of royalty oil and gas.
Referred to the Special Committee on Royalty Oil and Gas, Resources, and Judiciary.
House Bill 964 by the Commerce Committee, an act relating to the weighing of processed fish.
Be referred to the Commerce Committee. I'd like to ask the Resources Chairman to take a look at that bill and see if a resources referral is required. Representative Eliason, are you seeking the floor? Clerk of further bills for introduction.
House Bill 965 by the State Affairs Committee, an act providing for the issuance of general obligation bonds in the amount of $966 million for the purpose of paying capital construction costs of the new Alaska Capitol and providing for an effective date.
Be referred to State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 966 with a transmittal letter and an amendment by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to appropriations and providing for an effective date.
Be referred to the Finance Committee.
There's a budget amendment, fiscal year 79 general appropriations bill.
Okay. That probably should have been taken up under messages from the Governor, but the amendment will be referred to the Finance Committee.
House Bill 967 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act retroactively appropriating federal and other program receipts and providing for an effective date.
Referred to the Finance Committee.
House Bill 968 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act appropriating federal and other program receipts and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
House Bill 969 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act making supplemental appropriations for the operating and capital expenses of the state government and providing for an effective date.
Refer to the Finance Committee.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, ordinarily I'd bring this motion up under unfinished business. However, I think the Senate is anxious to receive our message regarding House Bill 627, the budget, which was read in this morning by the chief clerk. So at this time, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move that the body concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 627, thus adopting Senate Committee substitute for House Bill 627, and ask the members to vote no. Speaker, maybe I didn't identify that. That's the budget. Of course, we have our version, they have theirs.
Clerk, please read the bill by title.
Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 627 by the Finance Committee. An act appropriating for the operating and capital expenses of the state government and providing for an effective date.
Question is, shall the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 627? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Lethien. Representative Hayes. Clerk, Representative Cooper. Clerk, please take the roll.
Three yeas, 30 nays, 7 excused.
So the House has failed to concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 627. The clerk please notify the Senate. In the event that the Senate fails to recede from their amendments, this time we'll appoint a conference committee with powers of free conference consisting of Representative Cooper, Chairman, Representative Greening, and Representative Haugen. We're down to consideration of the daily calendar. Clerk, please read the first item on the calendar.
House Bill 923 by the Finance Committee. An act relating to the compensation of employees of permanent interim committees of the legislature and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance is at House Bill 923 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Duncan, Greening, Buchholz, Schaefer, Guy, and Haugen. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 923 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. The clerk please read House Bill 923 in third reading.
House Bill Number 923 by the Finance Committee. An act relating to the compensation of employees of permanent interim committees of the legislature and providing for an effective date.
Ready for the question? Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, possibly someone can tell us why this bill has been introduced and exactly what effect it has, and what employees are we talking about? There are only two permanent committees I can think of is the Legislative Council and the Budget and Audit Committee. And I'm curious as to how this will affect what they are currently being paid.
Representative Cooper.
Yeah. Mr. Speaker, the reason for this bill is that it's been unclear all along who sets the salary levels for the employees of the Legislative Finance Division and the Legislative Affairs Division, which technically are run by the Budget and Audit Committee and the Legislative Council, respectively. This statute just makes it clear that each shop takes care of its own employees and that they're required to coordinate not only with each other but also with state agencies that have similar levels of employment. What it does is just kind of takes care of our own shop and makes it clear how it's going to be run. I don't think that there will be any immediate effect. I would suppose that the respective permanent interim committees will work out these matters as time goes on.
Representative Dankworth.
Well, just in short, I don't agree with this bill, and I think it's wrong. It sounds like we're just letting some committees go set up there. If I understand Representative Cooper, they'll kind of work it out among themselves, their positions and overtime schedules and stuff. It sounds awfully loose to me and needs a little more direction from somebody in the legislature than to allow a committee just to do that. This could run into an awful lot of money. As I understand it, we're opening up overtime now, which is probably okay, too. Maybe I need a little more explanation on it before I can support it. But there's no direction to these committees other than what they're going to give themselves, apparently.
Representative Cooper?
Well, I'd point out that like every other salary level in state government, all that has to pass not only through the finance committees, but also through this body and the other body at large, through caucus and other things. And if people have an objection to the way those committees' salary levels are running, then of course it'll be taken up in that context also. But it's got to start somewhere.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, what's loose and uncoordinated is the situation as it exists right now. Right now, there's no coordination that's required or even indicated in the statutes. It is a very loose and catch-as-catch-can, and each agency kind of doing its own thing without any coordination without the other. This sits down for the first time a little policy in the statutes, not a radical change, but at least I think a logical change, that number one, sure, each committee does establish the levels within their own shop, but they have to coordinate with the other shop so that we don't have big differences in salaries paid for essentially the same work. They have to do it using the state government scales, and it's putting a little bit of coordination into an area where right now there's absolutely a total lack.
The question is, shall House Bill 923 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 4 nays, 7 excused.
So House Bill 923 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 923 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Bill number 934 by the Labor and Management Committee. An act relating to sick leave and certificated employees of school districts and providing for an effective date. The Committee on HES is at House Bill 934 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendment. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by NACAC, Chatterton, Buchholz, Phillips, Cotton, and Parr. I have one amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The members should have the committee on the amendment on their desks. And Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of Amendment Number 1.
There is objection, Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, the members will notice that all this does is take out the words "at least," so that the amount of sick leave is 1 1/3 days exactly. No possibility of it being any more. This amendment is supported by both the teachers and the school boards.
Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker, the question I have is, by statutorily locking in each district to 1 1/3 days of sick leave a month, are we interfering with a negotiated item? And in addition, do they continue to receive sick leave outside of their 180 contractual days a year, or however they do it? In other words, do they receive sick leave by this statute during the summertime when they're not teaching?
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I guess those questions appear to me, at least, to go to the bill itself rather than the amendment. But yes, we are locking in, if we take out the words "at least," we're locking it in flat to 1 1/3 days of sick leave a month. And, Mr. Speaker, that applies to months worked.
Representative Anderson.
Well, I have a problem with that. It could be anything from half a day up to 1 1/3 days with the existing language. The 1 1/3 would be the top that would be allowed. Taking out "at least" is doesn't give the boards or anybody else any flexibility, and I don't think I can approve of that.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, maybe Mr. Anderson and I interpret things differently, but if we take out the words "at least," then we make a flat amount. But with those words in there, that's the floor, right? 1 1/3, 1 1/2, 1 3/4, 2 days, 2 1/2, 3 days. It could go on up with the existing wording.
Is there further objection to the adoption of Amendment Number 1? Hearing no further objection, Amendment Number 1 is adopted. Is the clerk of further amendments to the bill?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller?
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 934, as amended by the House, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Would the clerk please read House Bill 934 in third reading?
House Bill Number 934, amended by the Labor and Management Committee. An act relating to sick leave and certificated employees of school districts and providing for an effective date.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, the word "what's in this bill" has been the practice for years, but has been the practice by department regulation. And the department was told by the Attorney General just recently they didn't really have that authority in statute. One thing nobody's ever questioned, but they've gone ahead and done it. And what this does is give a statutory basis for what has been going on all along. The bill was supported by the Department of Education, by the Association of Alaska School Boards, and by the NEA Alaska.
Representative Anderson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know. The first section, I'd like to have someone explained the reasons for each section and subsection here, because I don't know, this kind of thing really bothers me. 1 1/3 days of sick leave a month with unlimited accumulation of sick leave days. I don't know what that amounts to in terms of money and people stockpiling, and there are no guidelines on what the top amount's going to be, and I assume that the school districts are stuck with whatever number of days sick leave are going to have to be paid. What are the potential fiscal impacts on the various school districts, and can they afford this kind of legislation?
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, Association of Alaska School Boards, normally when they speak to the testify before the HESS committee, we have assumed in the absence of information to the contrary that they do represent their members, and as I said, they did support the bill. The practice has been going on for years, and at least in the 4 years that I have been here, there have been no complaints about it. There was a question raised in the committee about the unlimited accumulation, and that is the way the bill reads. However, again, there has been no complaint, to my knowledge, on this subject. What actually happens in many cases, Mr. Speaker, and it is provided for in the statutes, is that school districts have a sick leave bank, and teachers who have a lot of sick leave but they aren't needing will put it in the bank. And then, let's say you get a brand new teacher who's come in, taught for a couple of months, hasn't built up any sick leave, and who gets ill and is ill for 3 or 4 weeks, they allow to draw on that bank. So what it really does in many ways is make a sort of pool and takes care of all the teachers without any great burden on the districts, at least as far as testimony has been. The second part of the bill, Section B, simply says that if they change districts or if they go from being in a district to the Department of Education, or from the Department of Education back to a district, they carry their sick leave with them, and they have to notify the new employer within 90 days that they have, how many days they're transferring. Question was raised as whether this might have an adverse impact on a particular school district, and so far at least experience indicates it has not had. I suppose it's possible if we had sort of a mass migration of teachers from what were considered less desirable districts into the better districts, then you would the better districts then would be getting a lot more sick leave time transferred in. But so far, at least, it doesn't seem to have happened. And Section C of the bill, of course, merely lets the department put out the same kind of regulations it's had all along when they had them without a statutory basis.
Representative Lathine.
Mr. Speaker, I feel that on this particular bill is that it's kind of another one of these things of an insidious eating away of the local control, as I understand it, and I may be wrong. I thought each REAA negotiated their own contract, and maybe I'm misinformed about that. But it seems like this particular item is a contractual item that each individual school district should be able to negotiate in their contract as they see fit, not us as the legislature casting in concrete and statute.
Representative Anderson.
Well, it seems to me that the thing that's happening again is that the unions have failed to convince the local people that their positions are right on these issues, and they're now taking an end round around the local government, the people that are elected at the local level, and coming to the legislature and trying to get this enacted into law. And I don't know. I just again, I say it really bothers me, and I'd ask for a brief at ease, Mr. Speaker.
House, please stand at ease. House, please come to order. House Bill 934 is before the House in third reading. Is there further discussion? Ready for the question. Question is, shall House Bill 934 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 2 nays, 10 excused.
So House Bill 934 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 934 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Bill number 945 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to the requirements for the issuance of teacher certificates. The Committee on HESS is at House Bill 945 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by NACAC, Phillips, Buchholz, Parr, and Byrne. Mr. Chatterton has no recommendation. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 945 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Would the clerk please read House Bill 945 in third reading?
House Bill number 945 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to the requirements for the issuance of teacher certificates.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, quite briefly, the existing statutes on certification of teachers require that the one, that a teacher have graduated from with a baccalaureate degree from an approved school or college, and there are only two exceptions. One is a grandfathering clause from 1962, and the other is emergency certificates when the commissioner is convinced that there's no way of getting a certificated teacher. Now, what this bill would do would be to add a third group who would not have to meet this initial qualification of the baccalaureate degree from an approved institution or accredited institution. The bill was asked to introduce the bill by the Association of Alaska Native Educators, and that's the exact title, I'm sorry, but that's essentially what it is, and Mr. Dennis Demert, who's heading that group. And what's being looked at, Mr. Speaker, here is a way for the Department of Education, or the Board of Education, to establish regulations which would permit teachers to be certified or certificated, for that word, other than the conventional 4 years at the University of Alaska or the University of Washington or some route. They're looking at the possibility of establishing career ladders and having instruction on the spot. Something is along the ways that the XSEED program is now doing, but on a broader scope. And hopefully, one result of the bill in the long run would be that in many of our rural areas, we would have people become teachers who now are simply not able to do that because they can't take off and go to the university for 4 years. The bill does seem to me to be a good one. I did have some reservations, and those reservations were, would this result in certifying teachers who really weren't quite up to the scale of the ones who come from the typical four-year institution? The Commission of Education has assured us that that is a concern of theirs. The task force Mr. Demert is working on has assured us that this is a concern of theirs, and they have no intent to lower the quality of education, and that the regulations, of course, will be promulgated under the Administrative Procedures Act. This legislature will have a chance to look at them. If we're not satisfied, we can always insist that something be done about it.
Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker, I'm not going to support this bill. It appears to me that the bottom line and the very least we can expect out of somebody who's going to teach our children is that they be a college graduate and spend 4 years at a school. And I'm not going to leave it up to the bureaucracy to determine who can or who can't. I think at least as a base, we have to demand 4 years of education from a teacher, and again, I'm not going to leave it up to bureaucracy to decide otherwise.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Bill 945 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 3 Nays, 8 Excused.
So House Bill 945 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Bill number 947 by the Finance Committee, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the Legislative Affairs Agency and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 947 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 947 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Schaefer, Freeman, Meekins, Greening, Haugen, Rode, Duncan, and Buchholz. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk of Amendments to the committee substitute.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 947 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk, please read House Bill 947 in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 947 by the Finance Committee. An act making supplemental appropriations to the Legislative Affairs Agency and Legislative Finance Division and providing for an effective date.
Representative Miles? House, please stand at ease. House Bill 947 is before the House in third reading. Representative Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, I guess the committee substitute has been passed out by this time. This gets us through May the 31st, and of course, as you know, there are session employees that operate through legislative finance rather than legislative affairs agency, so that the extra money is as follows. The same period of time for the temporary session employees that come under legislative finance is 25-1. Attendance at a May 12th seminar for participants in a seminar on state legislative control of federal funds, which I think is particularly important this year, particularly since the court has ruled that legislature has no authority to rule on those funds, and that's just a superior court decision, but we're going to have to figure out some other tax. So this is three participants, and that's $2,400, and there's $5,000 in there to develop IBM data processing services so that they can break out line item appropriations for personal services and contractual and the other part of it, so that it substantially increases our capabilities on our system upstairs. So that's what the extra money is. It's 32.5.
Representative Urien.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Once again, I have the opportunity to rise and I give my "I told you so" screamer. The last time we passed supplemental appropriations to extend the session to the 120th day, I told you then that that the day would come and we would have another supplemental appropriation to again extend the session. And I'll make the same prediction again today, Mr. Speaker. I note this one takes us to the 143rd day. And I'll predict today that before that 143rd day arrives, we will have a third supplemental appropriation to again pay for extending the session. It is unfortunate, Mr. Speaker, that we have not been able to conclude our work in the second allotment of 120 days. I intend to vote no to show my dissatisfaction with the length of the session and the few accomplishments.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, when the minority leader made his first prediction, I certainly didn't argue with it. I suspect that that I figured at the time he was probably right, and I really can't even argue with his prediction this time. I don't know that we're going to go beyond 143 days, but I certainly don't have a crystal ball. Far more important to me, Mr. Speaker, than how many days, what those number of digits are, is do we do the people's business? We've got some of the most absolutely important issues that, you know, that have ever come before the legislature and will come before the legislature for the next, you know, decade probably. Far more important whether we address ourselves to the people's business and successfully, or at least to the greatest degree possible, humanly possible, address ourselves to that business than to worry about whether the digits add up to 99 or 143 or 120 or whatever.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just made an observation the other day. I've been in this legislature now 4 years, served with you and many others on this floor, and there has not been a special session since 1974. And it tells me something, it ought to tell the public something, is that we are doing our homework. And there's no need to go back and correct some of the things that we had to. It can go from one legislature to the next. And I think it marks a good record.
Representative Urien.
Well, I have to note that since that time, there has been a Republican governor, and it was a Democrat governor who called those sessions.
Mr. Speaker, I'll have to repeat the
Miller?
Same statement I made the last time he made that ridiculous statement, and it's because the the Republicans in charge of the legislature at the time hadn't done their homework.
Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, despite that, I think, you know, these special sessions aren't that bad at all. One special session was for 3 days, for three days, and the other one was for 27 days. You add these three and 27 is 30 days, and added on to two regular sessions, we're still far below what we're doing now.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I would very much like to see Mr. Urien wrong, and I know he'd like to be wrong. He'd like to get out of here, and we all would, so we wouldn't have to go past the 143rd day. And I believe that Mr. Urien can arrange that for us. I believe it's the members of his party who control the people, the other side of the other end of the hall, and if he can just persuade the members of that other party to do something to get, finish their work, I think we can get out of here in 143 days.
Representative Urien?
I could have sworn the president of the other body was a member of a party, which I am not.
I would note that we did get the budget message from the Senate today. Is there further discussion on House Bill 947? Ready for the question. The question is, shall House Bill 947 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 7 Nays, 8 Excused.
So House Bill 947 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll move the effective date clause.
Question is, shall the effective date clause in House Bill 947 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 1 Nay, 9 Excused.
So the effective date clause on House Bill 947 has been adopted. Representative Miller?
Speaker, maybe it is.
House, please stand at ease. Representative Miller?
Mr. Speaker, it would be quite advantageous to get this bill over to the Senate today, so for that reason I'm going to give notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 947.
Reconsideration is noted.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that my reconsideration of a committee substitute for House Bill 947 be taken up at this time.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, reconsideration is taken up at this time. Will the clerk please read House Bill 947 in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 947 by the Finance Committee. An act making supplemental appropriations to the Legislative Affairs Agency and Legislative Finance Division and providing for an effective date.
Question is, shall House Bill 947 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Yeas, 7 Nays, 7 Excused.
So House Bill 947 has passed the House. Representative Miller?
Speaker, I move the effective date clause.
Question is, shall the effective date clause in House Bill 947 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
31 yeas, 1 nay, 8 excused.
So the effective date clause has been adopted on House Bill 947. Representative Miller.
May we be at ease?
House, please stand at ease. The clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Bill number 953 by the Finance Committee. An act authorizing the Department of Administration to make advances to the University of Alaska and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 953 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Rode, Duncan, Cooper, Buchholz, Haugen, and Swanson. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 953 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Would the clerk please read House Bill 953 in third reading?
House Bill number 953 by the Finance Committee. An act authorizing the Department of Administration to make advances to the University of Alaska and providing for an effective date.
Representative Cooper.
Speaker, the bill here is one of two bills that are designed to try to clear up the university's current cash flow problem and also their so-called deficit problem. We'll address the other when it gets here. That's House Bill 935. But last year, when we brought the university under the Executive Budget Act, we also passed this present law, 3710088B, which limited the total of advances to the university on its outside contracts to 10% of the total appropriated to the university in that fiscal year. What we're doing here is changing that to 20. Otherwise, we'd have to come in and make an appropriation back just so that their cash flow situation could be met every year. So I guess what we did last year is put something out there, and we've seen that it doesn't quite work, so we're doing a little fine-tuning here, allowing that total to go up to 20% of their advances, and they must be repaid within 120 days. The reason for advancing that date is that oftentimes federal government particularly, but some other sources, they just don't pay their bills that quickly. So that's the reason for changing it. Section 2 carefully defines the term non-state funds. There has been some questions raised on that, so it just defines the term non-state funds.
Is there further discussion? Ready for the question. Question is, shall House Bill 953 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Thirty-two yeas, 1 nay, 7 excused.
So House Bill 953 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 953 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
House Concurrent Resolution number 124 by the Resources Committee by request relating to domesticated muskox. The Committee on Resources has had House Concurrent Resolution 124 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Osterbach, Akers, Smith, and Malone. Snyder has no recommendation. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Ready for the question? Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, the purpose of this resolution is to declare the muskox held by the muskox cooperative as domestic animals in order to make them eligible for federal assistance for domestic animal husbandry. And since there is no need or desire to change the relationships between the Department of Fish and Game and the Division of Agriculture and so on in the present way in which they're working with muskox in the state, a resolution is sufficient to achieve that end. Simply a resolution by the legislature that they are domestic animals will achieve the end of making them eligible for federal assistance without changing any of the relationships in the state at present.
Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker, as all good Scrabble players will know, the word Q is a very difficult word to get rid of in the game, and usually you have to have a U to go with it. And I notice a word in here that's spelled Q-I-V-I-U-T. And Mr. Speaker, I'm going to take note of that word to use it when I'm playing Scrabble, but somebody's going to ask me what it means and how to pronounce it, and I quite honestly don't know. And perhaps somebody here could tell me how Q-I-V-I-U-T is pronounced.
Representative Rudd.
Well, I'll give it a try, Mr. Speaker. I'm not sure that I know exactly, but it's Kvyat, I think. And Mr. Kelly will note that even though you don't need a U right after the Q, you still need a U.
Is there further discussion? Ready for the question? Question is, shall House Concurrent Resolution 124 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Thirty-one yeas, one nay, eight excused.
So House Concurrent Resolution 124 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 95 by the Finance Committee, declaring a day of hope.
Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the Walk for Hope is now in its ninth year, and it's one of the most significant and most productive charitable efforts in Alaska. Last year, this body passed a resolution similar to the one before us now, which I introduced. This year, the Senate was asked to introduce this resolution, and it was passed unanimously on Wednesday. The 1978 walk is scheduled to be held tomorrow, and it's certainly fitting that and timely that we should endorse this resolution today. For the information of other members of the body, Hope Cottages has a program that extends to 22 facilities throughout the city of Anchorage, and the walk tomorrow will be taking place in many communities in Alaska as well as in Anchorage. The cottages are nursing homes for severely and profoundly retarded children with multiple physical handicaps. They're group homes for children from 5 to 18 years of age. They're adult intake programs for people over 18. And a specialized foster care program for children as well as adults. Presently, the program serves more than 100 Alaskans. In 1977, more than 4,000 people participated in the Walk for Hope and raised some $80,000. The goal for this year's walk is $100,000, and we're being asked to endorse the efforts of the many children and adults who will donate their time and a great deal of energy on behalf of the less fortunate. Our encouragement is little enough, Mr. Speaker, to so worthy a cause, and I ask unanimous passage of this resolution.
Ready for the question? Is there any objection to the passage of Senate Concurrent Resolution number 95? Hearing no objection, the records show that Senate Concurrent Resolution number 95 was approved unanimously. Representative Miles. House, please stand at ease. Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, can we revert to introduction of the guest, please?
Hearing no objection, revert to introduction of guests. Representative Phillips.
I would like to introduce a constituent of mine and Representatives Cotton, Bradley, and Kelly, Mr. Bill Merrill.
Are there further guests for introduction? If not, we'll continue with the regular order of business. We're down to unfinished business. Representative Lathine.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to give my notice of reconsideration on House Bill 934.
Clerk, please note Representative Lathine's notice of reconsideration of his vote on House Bill 934. Further unfinished business to come before the House. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'd like to ask unanimous consent that Representative Malone be excused from the call on May 10th and 11th.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further unfinished business to come before the House. Special orders. Are there any special orders? Announcements, committee meetings. Representative Gardner.
The Judiciary Committee is going to meet at 1 o'clock today, so that's not our normal time, so everybody might take note of that. I have several bills up today. The first one will be House Bill 211, the Alaska Land Commission, House Bill 565 on eavesdropping, House Bill 419, adoption and voluntary relinquishment of parental rights, House Bill 852, the Alaska Code Commission, and House Bill 592, plain language and contracts and leases.
Representative Cooper.
Speaker, the Finance Committee will meet at 1:15, take up House Bills 933 and 939, which were announced yesterday but were not finished. They're supplementals to the Department of Administration. House Bill 906, Special Appropriation for Power Project Revolving Loan Fund. House Bill 806, Child Care Revolving Loan Fund. House Bill 903, Invention Awards Program. House Bill 842, Library Data Distribution Center. House Bill 820, Teachers Retirement. House Bill 558, Temporary Employees. House Bill 805, Special Appropriation Health and Social Services for Otitis Media. Senate Concurrent Resolution 88, which relates to an interim alcohol committee for the Legislative Council, and House Bill 720, which is the land bill, that will come last, and probably it will not come till about 3:30 or so, 7:20. Mr. Speaker, while I'm on my feet, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that we return to unfinished business for just a second.
No objection. Revert to unfinished business. Representative Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 442 be returned to the Finance Committee from the Rules Committee. We've discovered some substantial errors in the drafting of a committee substitute. Some of the amendments that were approved by the Finance Committee did not appear in the bill, and I have taken that up with the Rules Chairman.
The bill on the Alaska Power Authority amendments.
Yes.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, House Bill 442 will be returned to the Finance Committee. Is there further unfinished business? If not, we'll revert to the regular order of business. We're under announcements, committee meetings. Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, on Monday, the Community and Regional Affairs Committee is holding what we think might be an all-day workshop with representatives from various municipalities to discuss House Bill 843, the revenue sharing proposal. It will start at 9 o'clock in the morning in the governor's conference room and go through at least the early afternoon. The municipalities that have been invited include Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, Haines, Cordova, Valdez, Palmer, Sandpoint, Fort Yukon, Ketchikan, and the boroughs of Kenai, North Slope, Kodiak, Ketchikan, and Fairbanks. And I believe that representatives from all of those municipalities will be here for the meeting. I thought the members would like to know about the meeting so that they could, if they wish, contact people from their own area. Also, of course, any other municipality that wants to come, and they have all been notified of the meeting, is welcome to come. We invited those specific ones in order to get a good cross-section of municipalities that would be affected by the revenue-sharing proposal. Again, the meeting will start at 9 o'clock in the governor's conference room and go probably through at least the early afternoon.
Representative Osterbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resource
committee will meet today at 1:30 p.m. in committee room to hear representation from Joint Federal State Land Use Planning Commission on a Alaska Resource Information System and Databases.
Further announcements. For further business to come before the House. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, under unfinished business, I'm sorry I neglected a piece of pending business. We had a message the other day from the Free Conference Committee on committee substitute for House Bill 132. This is establishing a state educational incentive grant program. The conference committee report signed by Representatives Parr, Rudd, and Loveseth, and on the Senate side by Hackney, Croft, and Huber. That was distributed on the members' desk, Mr. Speaker, so I'll move at this time that this body concur in the Free Conference Committee report, thus adopting Free Conference Committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 132. Ask the members to vote yes.
Clerk, please read the bill by title.
Free Conference Committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill number 132 by the Free Conference Committee. An act establishing the state educational incentive grant program and providing for an effective date.
Question is, shall the House concur in the Free Conference Committee report for House Bill 132, thus adopting Free Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 132? Members may proceed to vote. Have any members failed to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the roll.
Twenty-nine yeas, no nays, one excused.
So the House has concurred in the Free Conference Committee report for House Bill 132. Clerk, please notify the Senate. Further business come before the House. Representative Anderson.
May we be at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Is there any further business to come before the House? Representative Miller.
Speaker, if not, a couple of brief announcements that I've been asked to make. There will be a spring arts festival at the Bill Ray Center. That's kind of across from the federal building. Saturday between 10 and 6 and Sunday between 1 and 6, there'll be 40 arts and crafts people there exhibiting live music, and sounds like a fun time. Also, I've been asked to remember my members that there will be an Admiralty Day celebration at Eagle Crest Lodge. It'll start out the morning of Sunday with a bird walk for people that enjoy that from 10 o'clock to 1, and then there'll be auctions and food and whatnot throughout the rest of the day. Speaker, if there's nothing further to come before the body, I'll ask unanimous consent. We stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Monday morning.
Hearing no objection, House is adjourned.